All right. Have you ever taken a word and taken the letters and rearranged the letters to say something a little different? Well, quite a number of years ago, an evangelist by the name of Reginald Wallace, he preached on both sides of the Atlantic, and he preached to young and old, and many people came to know Jesus because of him. He took the word Christian, and he rearranged the letters, and he said, A, Christ in. And then he used to talk about it, and then he would say this, a Christian is a man or a woman who has Christ living in him or her. That's what a Christian is. And so he would preach this over and over again so people would come to understand. The Bible teaches that humans by nature are dead in trespasses and sin. And also the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now this is a remarkable truth. It's a truth that people don't come to quickly. And then sometimes they think about it and they say, yes, if I'm honest, if I were to stand before an absolutely righteous and holy God, there's no doubt about the fact I would be a sinner. And that's the truth of the matter. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In other words, on our own, we are devoid of the divine element which makes us alive to God. All on our own, it's not with us. And we need something to make it with us so that we have Christ in. There's a basic deficiency that we all have, and that is that we do not have Christ living within until such time as we invite him to come in. Now then, having said that, I want us to refer to God's word this morning, as we find in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. If you're looking at the Pew Bible, it's on page 1165. The words will be on the screen. So let us hear the word of God. He, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether they're thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. This morning, we're going to take a look at the majesty of this life in Christ. Now, there is a scripture verse there. We'll get to that a little bit later. But first of all, there are two stories I'd like to tell you. Many years ago, when Queen Elizabeth was still Princess Elizabeth, Princess Elizabeth and Prince Philip both came to Halifax, where I was living at the time. I was a scout in the Boy Scouts, and we were asked to form an honor guard. So in front of City Hall in Halifax is a parade square, and it has sort of circular roads in it. And so here we were, hundreds of scouts all lined up around while we were waiting for the prince and princess to arrive. Well, we were there, and it was pouring rain. And we were getting wet, but we were waiting for the royal couple to come. And finally they drove up in a limousine that we could see in clearly. And we looked, and there they were, and I saw Prince Philip point at me, and he was laughing away because we were soaking wet. However, there we were, and there was something exciting about it. We were in the presence, almost presence of royalty. Well, that's story number one. Story number two. Years later, I was also in an honor guard as a scout when Lady Baden-Powell came to visit. Lord Baden-Powell had been dead. Now, when she was going around the world to represent him and representing scouting and guiding. So she came to, I think it was a large arena. We were inside this time. and we were to form two lines, and she was going to walk down in between. And we were told, stand at attention, look straight ahead, do not smile, do not talk unless you're spoken to. If she speaks to you, then you may speak to her. But if she doesn't speak, you're not to say anything. Fair enough. I had this firmly implanted in my mind. So then along the great moment came. The great lady came down, and she walks down through these two rows of scouts, stands right in front of me, and stares at me. And I'm there saying, don't talk unless she speaks. Don't say anything. So finally, she stared so long, I broke out and laughed. And she said, that's better. Remember now, it was an English accent. And there was a Scout law, one of the Scout laws, there were 10. And she says, that's better. A Scout smiles and whistles under all difficulties. And so then she marched on to someone else. Well, you know, there was something about being in her presence, sort of in the presence of Princess Elizabeth and Prince Philip, but also very close to Lady Baden-Powell. Many years later, their daughter, came and visited, and I was given the task of driving them around Toronto, and so I did. And I told Lady Baden-Powell's daughter this story. Oh, she said, I've got to write that down. I haven't heard that one before. And she was keeping a record of all of this. But being in the presence of royalty, and now think about it. When we think about Jesus, the King of Heaven, the ultimate in royalty, residing within the life of every believer, it is overwhelming when we think that God in Jesus is living within every single believer. When Christ resides in a life, the life of every believer, if not all at once, over a period of time, we begin to learn more and more about the majesty of Jesus. And the majesty of Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the majesty of Jesus being with his Father in heaven. And one of these days, he's going to come back to this earth to be with us. Now the verse says, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And firstborn means preeminence. So here he is, Jesus, and he is living within every believer. If you are not a believer, he is not living within you. But if you are a believer, then Jesus is there by the power of his Holy Spirit. The statement declares that all that God represents is embodied in Jesus. All who God is embodied in Jesus. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. And he is the radiance of the glory of God. So think about it. The image of the invisible God. God is spirit. So if we ever see, or if anybody in years gone by has seen a personage, it would be Jesus. It would be the person of Jesus because he is the exact representation of God the Father. So we're going to look at the image of the invisible God and the radiance of the glory of God. Through Jesus, we learn about God. We learn about his creative life and his redemptive life. His creative life and his redemptive life. Now, this morning, I'm going to put you to work. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to get out your own Bibles or look at a Bible in the pew. If you're in the front, there's a Bible underneath, and if you're behind a seat, you'll see a Bible. Now, if you have a pew Bible, I can't tell you what the page is for your personal Bible, but your pew Bible, you're going to look at page 1165, 1165. We're looking at Colossians. Now, I'd like us to take a special look at this verse. I want you to see it in print and hear it through your ears, so you're coming through the eye gate and the ear gate into your conscious and subconscious. Now, this is what it reads. For by him, that is Jesus, all things were created. Now, let me just hold on there for a minute. We all know that God was responsible for creation of everything. But God gave to Jesus the job of doing it. So we often don't recognize the authority of Jesus. But here it is again. For by him, Jesus, All things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all were created by him and for him. And then I'd like you to flip the page a little back to page 1049, and we're looking at a very famous passage of scripture in John's Gospel. We read this, John's Gospel, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. Now, in your Bible, you'll probably see the word capitalized. So the word capitalized refers to Jesus. So it reads, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, let me just go back over that. I'm going to substitute. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. So very important theological understanding. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Now, this is the role of Jesus, his creative life. We're going to talk about his redemptive life, but this is his creative life. And then if you go down to verse number 14, the Word became flesh. Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We are talking about Jesus, his creative life and his redemptive life. When we think about this, we cannot help but be totally amazed and awestruck when we think of who Jesus really is. Think of everything from the countless constellations in the universe and the atoms and molecules that make up absolutely everything. Jesus was the one, but power from God the Father through Jesus and the Holy Spirit to create everything that there is. Only in recent times have scientists said that everything that holds together must have an integrating point. Well, they're not recognizing this integrating point is Jesus, but we look at Jesus and we understand who he is and what he's done and what he's doing, and not only in redemption, but also in the very act of creation. We read this, in Christ, all things consist, says the King James Version, or in Christ, all things hold together in the New International Version. So keep this in mind, everything holds together. I believe that everything that's going on in the universe and everything that's going on with the atoms and the molecules are all being held together by one source, and that source is Jesus. Absolutely amazing when we think about this one whom we worship and whom we call. Personally, I am convinced that Jesus is holding everything together. Perhaps you've heard this illustration before. Now, I believe that God, through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, created the world, the universe, and everything in it. So that is a fact as far as I'm concerned. And people have said, oh, no, no, no. Evolutionists will say it happened by some sort of a Big Bang theory, and then all of a sudden the bang came and everything appeared. I've often wondered about that, and I've often thought, how could this Big Bang all of a sudden make male and female of every species? How could this happen? Well, it couldn't happen. The universe coming together by a Big Bang in that way, there are two illustrations that I'll give you, none of which are possible, but yet it would be equal to the universe coming together in that way. The very first is that the Oxford Unabridged Dictionary all of a sudden happened because of an explosion in a print shop. Now think about it. The print's all there, everything's there, it explodes, and out comes the Oxford Unabridged Dictionary. That thick, that big, impossible. Well, there's another example. Someone has said that the Rolls Royce, if it occurred because of a Big Bang, it would happen because the Big Bang occurred in a junkyard. And all of a sudden, we got a Rolls Royce. Well, now we know that those are ridiculous items, and so is it when we talk about creation. Creation had a creator. Creation had a designer. It didn't happen because of a Big Bang. The creation of the earth and the universe had a creator. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is their name. Through Jesus, we learn about God. We learn about his creative life, and we learn about his redemptive life. His redemptive life. And he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. Now, there is a church of ages past, church of ages future, if the Lord delays his return. There's the church present. There are people of the church who've died and gone on to be in glory. So the church is universal. It is all-encompassing, and Jesus is the head of that church. He is the head of the body of Christ, called the church, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. He made peace with mankind by the shedding of his blood on the cross. This is who Jesus is. This is what he's done. God has demonstrated the majesty of his Son in the realm of creation and in the realm of redemption. All that Christ has done in the past, in the present, and in the future. Let's take a look at the word redemption. It's a word that we often use, but what does it mean? It comes from the basic word redeem. And what does the word redeem mean? This is a dictionary definition. Redeem, a verb, an action word, meaning to gain or regain possession of something in exchange for payment, or exchange, like a coupon or a voucher, for merchandise, a discount, or money. Using the idea of a coupon, we can use an everyday example. For example, let's say that somebody gives you a voucher for $1 or a coupon for $1, and it came from Giant Tiger. And then you would have this coupon, and you would go down to buy something for $10. And you give them the coupon, and then when you do, you only pay $9. You exchange the coupon for value. And this is what happened with Jesus, with you, and with me. Jesus has redeemed us by taking our place to pay for our sin. If not to be crude, but he gave us a voucher. He did it in our place to pay for our sin, to pay for your sin and mine. His body and his blood given and shed in our place. He did this for the whole world. The whole world does not receive the benefit. Only those who believe this put their trust in Jesus and know that he died for them. That's the difference. There are many people that Jesus died for the whole world. It's one of the saddest comments I could make. I know he died for everybody of all time. But only those who put their full trust in Jesus receive the benefit. Now, looking at this from a theological stance, we discover an amazing truth. Hard to comprehend, but God, who is spirit, in all of his greatness, confined himself to the measure of Mary's womb. Amazing, but true. He was born, he lived, he died, and rose again so that the human race might be redeemed or reconciled to God. Jesus did this for you and for me. He wants us to be reconciled to God. In 2 Peter, we read people that were saying to Peter at the time, where is the promise of his coming? He hasn't come yet. There used to be a radio broadcaster who often said, something is as slow as the second coming of Christ. Why does it seem to be slow? Jesus is coming back someday. I believe he's coming back in our lifetime. But the only reason why he appears to be slow from our perspective is that he does not want anybody to be unsaved. He died for the whole world. He wants people everywhere to come to know him as Savior and Lord. The body is explained as the church of Jesus Christ. Every hour, somewhere in the world, someone is being added to the church of Jesus Christ. This morning, Pastor Nate and I were praying before we came in to the sanctuary. And I was saying, Holy Spirit, how wonderful it would be if you put a canopy over Campbellford and Trent Hills. And in that canopy, everybody under that canopy would come to church. come to church where they would hear the word of God being preached and the word of God taught. They would come and hear and come to understand that they may be the very last one to accept Christ as Savior before Jesus returns. How wonderful it would be. How wonderful if this canopy would spread over our congregation. Always, we would always be in touch with him. We would be filled with his Holy Spirit over and over again. Here's a truth. Jesus became the Son of Man that we might become sons and daughters of God. Think of it. Jesus became something he wasn't for you and for me. He became the Son of Man so that we could become the sons and daughters of God. Jesus became poor so that we might become rich in him. We're not talking about physical richness, as in money, but Jesus became poor so that we would become rich in him. Now, looking at Jesus, we know this. Jesus slept in somebody else's manger. He didn't own it. He sailed in another's boat. He rode on another's donkey. He was buried in another person's tomb. In earthly matters, he became poor. Yet all of the riches of glory belong to him. And for everyone who puts their trust in Jesus, all the riches of glory belong to us as well. Amen? Amen. Amen. Jesus is the perfect image of the invisible God. People have often asked me, since God is spirit, what is he like? And my response is this. If you want to know what God is like, look to Jesus. Study everything you can in God's word about Jesus. Not other books, in God's word. Study about Jesus, and you will know what God is like. He, Jesus, under God his Father, was totally responsible for the fulfillment of both creation and redemption. You were created by his reproductive process. You were not here by accident. God has a plan for you. There's an old saying that you need to have God's plan for you because everybody else will have a plan for you. Never mind what everybody else has. What does God have? What does God want us to do? You've often heard me pray, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the act of creation, for the act of redemption, for the act of salvation, for the act of your Holy Spirit coming to reside within me. This is something for which we can praise God. That passage of scripture that we read this morning from Colossians, I would encourage each of us to read it at least once a week. Get it in our head who Jesus is. The majesty of Jesus and the majesty of Jesus resides within every believer. In a way that we may not fully comprehend, as one prominent preacher says, the royal blood of heaven or the royal blood of Jesus flows through your veins. Praise be to God. The majesty of Christ rules supreme as we live in the privilege of being in his presence day by day. Never forget, Jesus, if you've accepted him, is within you. And if you haven't, he wants you to. There's a big transition that takes place. The transition is this. I'm used to earning everything I've got. Therefore, I'm going to earn my way to heaven. It isn't going to work. Heaven is a free gift, paid for by Jesus on the cross, the giving of his body, the shedding of his blood. That's how it is done. It's paid for. It's for you. But in order for you or me to receive it, we have to recognize we're a sinner. We need a Savior. Jesus is the only one who could be our Savior. Nobody else. Only Jesus, and we need to put our full trust in him. Father, we thank you for your touch upon our lives. We thank you that you are our great creator. Lord Jesus, you carried out the instruction of our Heavenly Father. You are our creator. You are our redeemer. Oh God, we praise you. We thank you. May all praise and glory be given unto you. In his precious name we pray.